Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, the breakfast cereals shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker puffed wheat. It's neat. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin'. The Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
I'd say, fellas and girls, when you hear about Sergeant Preston's rugged life in the Yukon, you know it takes plenty of energy to be a Mountie. The kind of energy that calls for a good breakfast. So be sure that your breakfast always includes a heaping bowlful of delicious, nourishing Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice, topped with milk or cream and fruit. Sam Raymond was geared for travel. The pack on his shoulders was a heavy burden, but the elderly man carried it with a light heart. It was weighted with cash and gold, as well as provisions for the long trip to Dawson. Sam had been traveling for 2 hours when he reached a small cabin. He didn't want to leave the Yukon without saying goodbye to his old friend Mrs. Gallen and her 10-year-old grandson, Billy.
Mr. Raymond.
Howdy, Billy.
Come on in.
Yeah, I'm going to. As soon as I kick off my snowshoes and take this pack from my shoulders. There. I stopped in to say goodbye to you and your grandma.
What's this about goodbye, Sam?
Hello, Martha.
Where are you heading?
I'm leaving the Yukon to go to the States.
Golly.
Going to spend some of my cash in gold.
But what about your claim? Did you sell out to your partner?
Oh, I'm not pulling stakes for keeps, Martha. I'm just leaving on a holiday.
Oh.
Joe'll look after things while I'm gone. There's just one thing I'd like to take care of before I leave.
Oh, what's that?
You and Billy. I know the two of you want to buy a trading post, and I wanted to offer to lend you the cash you'll need. You can pay me back a little at a time.
Oh, that's kind of you, Sam, but Billy and I are making out.
Oh, you're too doggone independent, Martha.
You told me that 20 years ago, Sam. I'm too old to change my ways now. Yeah. Say, your dogs are mighty quiet. I don't hear a sound out of them.
I figured Joe'd need the team and sled at the claim. I'm walking to Dawson.
It'll be a long trip afoot, Sam. You'll be plenty tired by the time you reach Dawson.
A feller I used to work with has a shack 7 or 8 days' travel from here. I'll stay at his place and rest a while. Maybe he'll have a sled and team for sale.
Is he a prospector?
Used to be, but he turned trapper, Billy. Well, I'll see you two when I get back from the States.
Good luck, Sam.
Thanks, Martha.
Sam made the trip to Beaver River in 6.5 days. By the time he reached Rocky Plum's cabin on the edge of the river, he was exhausted.
Oh.
He was glad to find that his former partner had a spare bunk he could use.
Where are you heading, Sam?
Dawson. I'm on my way to the States.
Well, I don't blame you for pulling stakes. If I had the cash, I'd get out of this country myself.
I'll only be gone 5 or 6 months.
Ah. Well, why come back?
My partner and I have a mighty rich claim up on Salmon River. I'd be a jughead to sell out.
Sounds like I was loco to give up prospecting.
You thought trapping a couple of seasons would make you rich.
Well, I thought wrong. Tell me about your claim, Sam. How'd you happen to strike it, and what's it worth?
Rocky Plum listened attentively to the account of Sam's good fortune. Sam was leaving the Yukon with plenty of gold, while he had barely enough cash on hand to live on.
Oh, it's a first-rate claim, Rocky. Oh, gosh, I'm tired.
Well, stretch out on the bunk.
Oh, thanks.
You shouldn't have tried to travel so fast.
I shouldn't have tried to pack my gear on my back. Oh, boy. Trip would have been a lot easier if I'd had a good team and sled.
You're right about that.
You know where I can buy a sled and some dogs?
Rocky knew Sam was exhausted. The old man would probably sleep so soundly, nothing short of an explosion would waken him. A plan began to form in Rocky's mind.
So, you want to buy a sled and dogs, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Pete Allman has a good team for sale.
Well, where's he live?
On the other side of the river. Pete will probably sell you a sled, too.
I'll stop at his place tomorrow.
I'll go straight across the river to go there.
Oh, I was planning to cross the bridge to the other side.
Why? You'll save 10 or 15 miles by crossing on the ice.
Is it solid enough to be safe?
Oh, it'll be another month before the ice starts thinning. It's plenty thick to walk on.
Oh, I thought it might be dangerous this time of year.
Ah, it's safe.
Oh, glad to hear it. I don't want to carry my pack any farther than I have to. Oh, this mighty comfortable bunk, Rocky. Mighty comfortable.
Sam. Sam? Sound asleep.
Sam didn't stir when Rocky loosened his clothing in an effort to learn whether or not the old man wore a money belt.
He's not wearing a money belt. Gold must be in his pack. When he leaves here tomorrow, he'll never know the pack was opened.
It was early the next morning when Sergeant Preston halted his dog team in front of Pete Allman's cabin on the banks of Beaver River.
Bunking! How are you, Husky?
At the sound of the Mountie's voice, Pete's door opened. King went forward eagerly to greet his old friend.
Sergeant Preston.
Hi there, Pete.
And King. Doggone, it's good to see you, fella.
Looks like the feeling's mutual, Pete. King never forgets his old friend.
I figured you were about due on patrol, Sergeant.
We'd have been here earlier if we hadn't crossed the bridge to get here.
It's a good thing you used the bridge. The ice is mighty thin halfway across the river.
Yes, it always thins out this time of the year.
Well, come inside, Sergeant.
All right. What's wrong, Pete?
Look out there in the river. Someone's starting to cross it. You'll never make it, Sergeant.
Hey there! Doesn't seem to hear me.
It's no use shouting. His parka hood is up.
We've got to stop him before he reaches that thin ice. Come on, King.
I got an old flagpole beside the cabin. I'll bring it with me in case he goes through.
Sam Raymond was walking slowly in an effort to keep his balance. His eyes were fixed on the glassy surface underfoot, and his ears were snugly covered by the close-fitting parka, so that he neither saw nor heard Pete Allman and Sergeant Preston. Suddenly, the ice gave way. Sam struggled desperately to keep afloat in the icy water, but the weight of the pack strapped to his back and his heavy clothing threatened to drag him under. Then he saw King. A moment later, he heard a man shout,
King!
King leaped from the edge of the ice into the freezing cold water. Sam grabbed the mighty dog's furry neck and held on.
We're coming, King.
Help!
Hang on to the dog. Please, give me that pole.
Here you are, Sergeant.
Grab the end of this pole.
I've got it!
I'll help you hold him in.
Careful, Pete. Careful.
Help.
Hurry. Sam clung to one end of the flagpole held by Sergeant Preston and Pete Allman. Then the Mountie moved forward cautiously on the creaking ice. He reached out and grabbed Sam's hand. With a mighty effort, Preston hauled Sam Raymond to safety.
There you are.
Thanks for saving my life.
Here, Pete. Wrap him in my pocket while I get King out.
Right.
What about you?
Don't worry about me. Keep moving or you'll freeze to death. Now then, King, I'll get a grip on your collar. That's it, fella. Good work, King. Now we'll go back to Pete's cabin.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Guess who's here today, fellas and girls? A gypsy fortune teller. And here she is with her amazing crystal ball that reveals what's going to happen before it happens. Are you ready, Madam Fortune Teller?
I now look into my crystal ball.
Tell me, does it show what I'll be doing 1 month from tomorrow morning?
I see you reaching for something.
Yes?
I see the color red. I see blue.
Huh?
I see a man smiling. A picture and a package.
Oh, I know. I'll be reaching for the big red and blue package of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice with a picture of the smiling Quaker man on the package.
You look happy.
Who wouldn't be when you can pour out a heaping bowl full of those crisp, tender, king-size grains, top them with milk or cream and fruit, and go to it.
I see you reach again.
You bet. You always want seconds of Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice. It's the cereal shot from guns. Did you know that, Madam Fortune Teller?
I see all in my crystal ball.
Then you can see that the choice premium grains put into those guns will be exploded up to 8 times normal size to make them bigger and better tasting.
I see nourishment, too.
Why, in every single spoonful of delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat or Quaker Puffed Rice, there are added food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
I see in my crystal ball many happy boys and girls.
Yes, Madam Fortune Teller. Those are the fellas and girls who've discovered that the swellest tasting breakfast treat is Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat. The breakfast cereals shot from guns. Now to continue. A short time later, Sam Raymond and King were both warm and dry in Pete Allman's comfortable cabin. While the great dog lay contentedly at Preston's feet, Sam sipped steaming tea from a tin cup and voiced his thanks to his rescuers.
Wearing heavy furs and carrying a pack on my back, I'd have gone under for sure if it hadn't been for your dog, Sergeant Preston.
Glad we were near enough to help you.
Say, whatever you got in your pack is likely in need of a drying out.
There's an oilskin pouch inside that's full of gold and currency. I hope the folding money didn't get wet.
Yeah, we'll soon know.
Sam, I didn't think anyone would be foolish enough to risk crossing the river this time of year.
I wasn't going to try crossing, but Rocky Plum told me the ice was safe. He's been trapping around here for a long time, so I figured he knew what he was talking about.
Well, he was wrong.
I reckon anyone can make a mistake.
His mistake nearly cost your life.
Wait, what's that stuff?
Well, you ought to know, Sam.
How'd all that junk get into my pack?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, this broken clamp is from a trap of some kind, and this is a link from a chain.
Where's my gold and cash?
You said it was in an oilskin pouch.
That's right.
I don't see anything that looks like a pouch. Do you, Sergeant?
No.
Then I've been robbed, right? And there's only one man who could have stolen that oilskin pouch.
Your friend Rocky Plum?
Yeah.
Maybe he figured you'd drown Beaver River or before you found out you'd been robbed.
I crossed the river because he told me you had dogs and a sled for sale.
I don't even own a dog team.
Dirty double-crossing polecat of all the sneaking sidewinders I ever met. Why didn't he shoot me and be done with it?
He wanted to escape punishment for robbery and murder.
He's tried to rob the wrong man.
Hey, where are you going?
I'm going after Rocky.
Take it easy, Sam. We'll both go after Rocky.
Sam Raymond borrowed dry clothing from Pete Allman. Then the old prospector and the Mountie traveled the 15 miles to the bridge across Beaver River, and then to Rocky Plum's cabin.
But he's gone. Cleared out.
You're right, Sam.
He must figure I'm dead.
No, not necessarily. From this window, you can see the river. He may have seen us save you.
In that case, he knows we'll be after him.
Right. King will find Rocky.
Well, I want to be with you when you find him.
All right, Sam, but we've no time to waste.
King got Rocky scent from articles that had been left in the cabin. Once outside, the great dog picked up the scent in the snow and began to follow it. Sam Raymond was silent and grim as he accompanied Sergeant Preston. He didn't know that his one-time partner suspected he was being followed. Rocky was traveling light, and he traveled fast. The big trapper had spent much of his time outdoors. His strength and endurance matched Sergeant Preston's. And as the Mountie studied the tracks in the snow, he realized the difficulties ahead of him. It was a trying manhunt, for Sergeant Preston allowed a minimum of rest for himself, Sam Raymond, and the team of Huskies. Only an iron-willed determination to catch Rocky enabled Sam to maintain the man-killing pace without complaint. In 4 days, they had gained slightly on the man they sought. Preston and his companion were only a few miles from the town of Reindeer Ridge when one of the Mountie's dogs went lame.
Bulking! Hurry, Huskies! Hurry! Easy, Frida. Easy, lady.
Will she be able to travel, Sergeant Preston?
No, Sam. I'll have to take her out of harness.
That's a piece of bad luck we could have done without. Look at King. He's fussing over that dog like a mother with a sick papoose.
King, you'll have to work in harness, boy.
Maybe we can get a dog in Reindeer Ridge.
Well, that wouldn't help, Sam. My team's used to working as a unit. A strange dog in the line might slow them down. Come on, Frida. Easy, lady. Easy now. There you are. You'll ride the sled in style, girl. A day or so off that foot and you'll be all right.
You know, Sergeant Preston, I don't savvy Rocky's scheme.
What do you mean?
Looks to me as if he's heading for Salmon River.
The Alaskan border isn't far from Salmon River. Once he's across the line, Rocky will be in the clear.
He must be nearly dead on his feet, Sergeant Preston.
What about you, Sam? It's been a hard trip.
Well, I haven't complained, have I?
Do you want to stay with me or rest in town while I go on?
I'm with you, and I'm staying with you till we find Rocky.
All right, on King! On, you huskies!
Outside the town of Reindeer Ridge, Rocky's tracks disappeared from the hard-packed, wind-swept trail. But King wasn't following visible tracks. Without hesitation, the mighty dog continued the chase. He was leading the team toward a forest of spruce and evergreen trees. In the early darkness, dimming the sky, Sam Raymond recognized landmarks he had passed only a few days before. He was about to point them out to Sergeant Preston when suddenly a shot rang out.
Oh! Sam!
At the sound of the shot, King stopped in his tracks, halting the team as Sam staggered and fell. Preston drew his gun as he hit the ground.
Sam, you all right? Sam!
There was a red flash as the second shot came from the trees. The bullet missed the Mountie's head by inches. He returned the fire. King strained against the harness that prevented him from attacking the ambusher. Sam Raymond lay motionless in the snow, while Sergeant Preston studied the growing darkness around him. Though he listened with strained attention, he heard nothing but the anxious whimpers of King. The Mountie moved to Sam's side and felt for a pulse.
Sam's alive. I'll see what I can do for him.
Rocky had suspected he was being followed and had waited in the trees to make sure. He saw two men coming after him. He hit one, was about to move in for the kill when Preston opened fire. The shots came close, forcing Rocky to draw back to the protection of a huge tree trunk. He waited, then peered around the side of the giant tree cautiously. But in the growing darkness, all he could see was a sled. Preston and Sam were concealed by brush. Half blind with exhaustion, he turned and left the scene of the ambush while he fumbled to reload his rifle with spare cartridges from the pocket of his parka. With his pursuers momentarily stopped, Rocky felt he could safely rest. But the barren snow-covered plains offered no shelter. It was hours later when he saw a lighted cabin ahead. He knocked on the door. It was opened by Billy Gallon.
Howdy, mister.
Your folks home?
My grandma's here.
Who is it, Billy?
I don't know. He's a stranger.
What do you want?
I've traveled a long way, ma'am. I'm hungry and tired. I'll pay you well if you'll feed me and let me rest here for a while.
Oh, come on in. I have some soup on the stove. It's still hot. I'll put some in a bowl.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot.
In the bright light of the cheerful kitchen, Rocky was a terrifying sight. His eyes were red-rimmed and bloodshot from lack of sleep, and his face was gaunt beneath his whiskers. Billy stared in silence as the stranger wolfed the bread and soup his grandmother offered. And then, after Rocky went to sleep on a cot near the fire, Billy whispered,
"Golly, Grandma, he scares me."
"He may be all right, Billy.
He looks like a crook."
"We don't know that he's a crook."
"Maybe he came to rob us. Maybe he'll wait till we're asleep and then..."
"Oh, if that's the case, he came to the wrong place. Just to make sure he'll not harm us, we'll play a trick on him."
"What kind of a trick?"
"We'll take the cartridges from his rifle."
"That's a good idea. But he'll be able to reload if he's carrying extra cartridges."
"He's not wearing a cartridge belt."
"Well, maybe he carries the ammunition in his pockets."
"Oh, I never thought of that. We'll look."
"He'll be awful mad when he finds his rifle's empty."
"He'll not know it's empty unless he tries to fire it. We'll return the cartridges if he leaves without making trouble."
Shortly after daybreak the next morning, Billy Gallon was building up the fire in the big kitchen stove. Billy looked at his grandmother apprehensively when the man on the cot stirred and opened his eyes.
How long did I sleep?
All night.
All night? Hey, I gotta get going. You should have waited for me.
You look mighty tired. We thought you needed the rest. Breakfast to be ready in just a few minutes.
The fire's all set, Grandma. I'll get some more wood from the woodshed.
All right, dear. If you'd like to wash up before breakfast.
Oh, listen.
Breakfast,
what's that?
I didn't hear anything.
Sounded like a dog team.
Maybe we'll have some more company for breakfast, Grandma. There's a dog team heading this way.
Yeah, I thought so. I'll look out and see who it is.
What's wrong, mister?
Plenty.
Billy, look out the window. Who's coming?
There's one man running beside the sled and another man in the sled. The man in the sled looks like... Oh, Grandma! It's Mr. Raymond.
Sam? But he's on his way to Dawson.
They're coming here for me. Now get back from the window, both of you.
That rifle. What are you going to do?
I'll stop those two for keeps this time. I'll open the door just wide enough to poke the rifle through. Now then. Hey, what the... The rifle's empty.
You are a crook.
You took the cartridges from my rifle.
Yes, and we took the extras you had in your pocket.
Oh, where are they? What'd you do with them?
You'll never find them.
Well, I'll deal with both of you.
Look out, Billy. He has a bread knife. Stay away from him.
No, I've got you.
Let go of me. Let go of me, you dirty crook.
Hold still.
Leave Billy alone. Let him go.
I ought to kill the both of you for what you've done. Where are those cartridges? Now speak up or I'll...
Oh, outside. They're outside. I'll go out and try to find them.
How long will that take?
I don't know. It was dark when I hid them.
Yeah, and those two are getting closer. There's no time to look outside. Besides, they might suspect something if they see you out there. Where's that door leading?
It leads to the woodshed. There's an opening to the outside.
But I can get out of here by going that way?
Yes. Please go and leave us.
All right, now listen. Your grandson's coming with me. Oh. I'll leave the woodshed door open an inch or so as I can hear what's said when they start asking questions.
You're a crook! A dirty crook!
Shut up!
Hush, Billy, do as he says.
We'll be in the woodshed. When Sam and the fellow with him come in here, don't let them know you've seen me. Keep talking to Stollum, do you savvy?
I savvy.
And if you know what's good for you and your grandmother, kid, you'll be quiet. Now get in there.
He'll be quiet. Don't hurt him. Please don't hurt him.
Outside the cabin, Sergeant Preston helped Sam Raymond from the sled.
You all right, Sam?
Don't worry about me, Sergeant. I'm lucky that bullet just grazed the side of my head. But I'm doggone sorry the wound forced you to stop for the night and take care of me.
Forget it, Sam.
Yeah. Martha? Hey, Martha!
Oh, hello, Sam. Come on in.
Martha, this is Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police.
Police.
Sergeant, this is Mrs. Gallen.
How do you do, Mrs. Gallen?
Glad to know you, Sergeant. Oh, Sam, you've been hurt.
No good ex-partner of mine shot me.
The wound isn't serious, Mrs. Gallen. But the man who shot Sam may have come this way. Have you seen any travelers?
King had caught Rocky's scent as soon as the cabin door opened. He knew the man they followed was inside. He had barked frantically to warn his master. Preston didn't understand the warning. In harness with the team, King was helpless to aid his master. Lowering his head, he caught the traces in his sharp teeth, began to gnaw the leather desperately. Knowledge of Preston's danger made his task all the more urgent. Meanwhile, Rocky and Billy came out of the woodshed. Still holding the knife close to the boy's back, Rocky crept along the side of the cabin. He knew a rifle was on the sled. With the weapon in his possession, he could get the drop on Sam Raymond and the Mountie. And then King saw Rocky come from the side of the cabin toward the sled. With an angry snarl, the powerful dog suddenly leaped at the man he knew was an enemy.
Hey, what the...
The force of his charge broke the weakened traces. King was free of the restraining harness.
No, no, get away! No.
The unexpected attack surprised Rocky. When he turned to meet the dog, Billy broke away from the outlaw and raced to the cabin door.
Help! Help!
The cabin door flew open. Sergeant Preston rushed out, his gun in his hand. Behind the Mountie was Sam Raymond and Billy's grandmother.
Rocky! King's got him!
Ready, King. All right, boy. On guard. Put your hands up, Rocky.
Yeah.
You're under arrest in the name of the Crown.
A short time later, Rocky Plum was handcuffed for the trip to Dawson. Billy and Mrs. Gallen explained how they'd emptied the outlaw's rifle, while Sam Raymond examined the contents of his oilskin pouch.
It's a good thing we took the cartridges from his pocket, too. We hadn't, he'd have reloaded in time to shoot.
What about your money, Sam?
It looks like he didn't have a chance to spend any of the gold or cash. It's all here.
Sergeant Preston, I'll be glad to mend that broken harness.
Why, thanks, Mrs. Gallen. I'm going to accept your offer. No need to apologize, King. You're not being scolded, boy. I'm glad you broke the harness.
Martha, You helped get my cash from that thieving polecat as a reward. I'd like to get you and Billy the trading post you want.
Oh, golly, Grandma!
That's kind of you, Sam, but...
Martha, you've always been stubborn about taking help from me. But if you were Mrs. Sam Raymond, we could build that trading post together.
Oh, Sam.
How about it?
Why didn't you ask me years ago?
You'll marry me?
Oh, of course.
Oh, boy.
Yippee!
Congratulations, Sam. Yes, boy, this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. One mother after another is discovering that there's one cereal the whole family likes to eat.
Yes, indeed. That's Quaker Puffed Rice or Quaker Puffed Wheat.
Of course the youngsters go for them because they're the ones shot from guns.
And Dad reaches for them every time because he likes the toasty flavor of the good natural grain.
Everybody goes for the nut-like, sun-ripened natural flavor that old Mother Nature puts into it.
In our family, the children like cereal very, very sweet. But Dad and I do not want it nearly so sweet.
And that's the beauty of Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. They are never coated with factory sweetening.
So my family can sweeten them with sugar just the way they like them.
And every bowlful gives the family extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron.
That's why I'm always glad when the family sings out, "Second helping, please."
So mothers, discover the way to please the whole family at the breakfast table. Get delicious, nourishing Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat. They come only in the big red and blue packages with a sealed inner lining that keeps them crisp as can be. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Reporting for duty, Inspector.
I have an assignment for you in Skagway, Sergeant.
In American territory?
Yes. A new recruit, Constable Harold, was supposed to arrive there on the Portland Bell. The ship docked the day before yesterday. The constable hasn't reported for duty.
Perhaps he wasn't on board, sir.
It's possible, Sergeant. I want you to check.
Yes, sir. I'll start for Skagway at once.
Constable Harold will never report for duty. As the sergeant leaves the post at White Pass, an Indian fisherman is bending over the still body of a young man on the beach outside Skagway. There is a bullet wound just above his heart. Constable Harold has been murdered. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns. Only Quaker Pacoten has wheat and rice shot from guns. That's Quaker Pacoten, a regular cereal pantry. 6 different delicious ready-to-serve cereals. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings. At breakfast, you can take your pick of the pack. Have your own separate individual package. Enjoy a different cereal, extra fresh, every morning. Just remember, only Quaker Pacoten has all your family's cereal favorites. Try Quaker Pacoten. You'll be glad you did. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.